911. What's the location of your emergency?
It's on 69 northbound near mile marker 207, looks like. I'm not involved in it, but there's a car on the side of the road, and there's someone laying in the street.
All right, and what was your name? All right, and what's your callback number?
There's a semi sitting back there. I was going to go back and check on him, but there's people back there, it looks like. But it looks pretty dangerous. He's laying right outside his open door.
All right. All right. It looks like we have help on the way out there, okay?
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Do you remember the movie Saving Private Ryan? It came out in 1998, starring Tom Hanks, Matt Damon, and some other big-name actors, directed by Steven Spielberg. Really incredible movie, one of my favorites. The first several minutes of that film is a graphic war scene. It's June 6, 1944, which is known as D-Day. U.S. soldiers are coming into Omaha Beach, and they are immediately under a lot of fire. Bullets flying by everywhere. I haven't watched this movie in years, but there's a brief scene that stuck with me for some reason. One of the soldiers there is in the heat of the battle, and he gets shot in the helmet. The helmet literally just saved his life. This is the first time he's been shot, and you can see he is amazed at what has just happened. He takes off the helmet to look at the spot where he was struck by the bullet, and he's clearly thinking, wow, I just got shot, and this helmet saved my life. And while he's holding the helmet in his hands, another bullet hits him in the head and immediately kills him. The essence of this really brief scene is that he was in awe of the first thing that happened, but what happened next was much bigger and much worse. That's kind of the underlying theme for what happened with my guest today, Steven. He's a teenager, recently had his first car accident. It was a minor one, just a little fender bender, but it was something he hadn't experienced before, so at that moment, when he was exchanging information with the other driver, it seemed like a pretty big deal. But he had no idea that the really big thing was about to happen. Real people in unreal situations.
There is a man standing in front of me in my bedroom.
My friend has been shot.
I'm literally inside the river, and I'm inside my car.
He had told me multiple times that he was going to set himself on fire.
If you say my name or try to look at me, I'm going to kill you.
And he was just sobbing. He said, Mom, Mom, tell me you're going to be okay.
And I jumped on the hood of the car, and I held on.
And I looked into the garage, and he was hanging from the rafters.
I had somebody standing on my neck.
He's better to me dead. I want him dead.
I'm Scott Johnson, and this is What Was That Like? Hey, it's Scott, and guess what? You're about to hear an ad. And that's both good and bad. It's good because ads are what make it possible for me to keep bringing you these episodes. And it's bad because, well, maybe you don't like listening to ads, and I get that. And the good news is, you don't have to. When you sign up to support the show, you get every single episode without any ads. Plus, you get all the bonus episodes. Yeah, did you know there are actually bonus episodes? And you can try it all for free just to see what it's like. If you're on an iPhone, just go to the What Was That Like podcast, and at the top, click on Try Free, and you're in. On Android, just go to whatwasthatlike.com/plus and try it out completely free. Once you've had the ad-free experience, you'll see why hundreds of other listeners are already doing it. But for now, here's another ad, and then on with today's episode. I'll confess, sometimes I let my podcast playlist get out of hand and I get way behind. But there's one show that I subscribe to, and any new episode goes right to the top of the queue. That's the Jordan Harbinger Show. That's because I never have to figure out, okay, is this one going to be interesting, or do I wait for the next one like I do for some shows? because Jordan's conversations are always a must-listen for me. He talks to fascinating people from any category you can think of, authors, scientists, athletes, you name it. He's talked to undercover cops who posed as mafia and the actual career mafia hitmen. And the stories he gets out of these people, just incredible. In one episode, he talked to Paul Holes. You might know that name if you're into true crime. He's the former investigator who uses really advanced methods to solve cold cases, including the Golden State Killer. And another one I really enjoyed was with Sam Harris, an author and neuroscientist who promotes skepticism, and he doesn't mind taking on some seriously controversial topics like politics or religion. That one's going to make you think. Whenever a new episode of the Jordan Harbinger Show pops up, I already know it's going to be an episode that I'll enjoy listening to, and I'll bet you will too. For some episode recommendations, check out jordanharbinger.com/start or search for the Jordan Harbinger Show. That's H-A-R-B as in boy, I-N as in Nancy, G-E-R on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. I know this just happened a few months ago. How old are you?
I am 18. I turned 18 the 2nd of January.
When this happened, you mentioned you're a senior in high school and you had just started a job, right? You were brand new on this job?
Yeah, I was like literally fresh off the conveyor belt, like 3 days in.
What was this job?
I worked at an Amazon warehouse. It was very exciting, actually. It was a lot of hard work, which I really enjoy. So, you know, I was ready to get into it. So I was very excited for the new job that lasted 3 days.
Do you know, just as an aside, are they going to take you back when you're ready, when you're able to work again?
They said that I can reapply, but depending on, you know, how I feel, I don't know if I will, just because it's a lot of hard labor. And after all the injuries, it might be hard to go back.
Yeah, you got to ease your way back into it.
Mm-hmm.
So you were actually working overnight.
Yeah, I had night shifts at Amazon, which was 6 in the evening to 6 in the morning. So it was a pretty intensive shift, especially for me being my first, you know, real job. And, you know, I just was not used to that night shift.
So you were on your way back home after getting off work. And was it still dark then?
Yeah, it was still dark. It was around 6:30 in the morning, so the light was just coming up, but it was not bright enough at all for me to see much.
So you're going down the interstate. This is Interstate 69 in what's the big city in Indiana? South Bend or Indianapolis?
It's Indianapolis. It's close to Indianapolis. It was more closer to my small town of like Hamilton County, but it was close to Indianapolis. Yeah.
And so you got into a little fender bender with another car. How did that happen?
Because of me being so new to having a night shift, I was starting to get a little drowsy at the wheel, which thankfully the worst thing that happened was the fender bender coming out of that. I'm a little heavy on the gas when I drive, I'll be honest, and that didn't mix well with the fact that I was drowsy. So I kind of tapped her. Thank goodness it was only a bit of a tap, but yeah, she was definitely going the proper speed limit and I was just a bit too fast and tapped her.
So you both pull off the road and were both of your cars off the freeway?
Yeah. Both of our cars were, I think, mine was 4 feet off and hers was a foot off the white line. And thank goodness my father taught me, right? He taught me to turn on my hazards whenever I get out of my car. So I turn the lights on and then she does the same. It was my first accident I'd ever gotten into, which was, you know, a blessing that it was such a minor one. So I'm sitting in my driver's seat and I'm freaking out because like, oh no, I really hope I didn't just destroy the back of this lady's bumper. And she comes over to the side of my door. She taps my window and she's like, "Are you okay, hon?" And I'm like, "Oh, thank goodness, she's so sweet," because I was afraid to just get like chewed out by someone. And she asked me if I'm okay. You know, I explained to her that, you know, it's my first few days and I'm not used to the night shifts. And, you know, it was so glad that she understood so well. So obviously because of an accident, I had to exchange information with her, which is normal with every accident that happens. So I go through my glove box and I grab the proper stuff. And she goes back to her car to grab what she needs. So, you know, I get out of my car and I walk up to hers, and her window wasn't working because her car was a bit older. So the window just didn't work. So she's like, here, just come over to the side of the door. So I'm sitting there, I'm talking with her. We exchange her information. And then, you know, we're just kind of shooting the shit for a bit because we both work the same place. So we're both talking about it.
She's sitting in her car with the door partly open. Is that right?
Yeah, just a bit because of her window not working. Blink and you miss it. A semi-truck smears me against the floor, like instantly. I didn't even know what was going on. It was the most shocking thing I had ever been through, unsurprisingly.
Did you see it coming at all?
The lady who I had a fender bender with saw me look at it, and my last words would have been, oh shit, and then it hit me. So it was like no time to react for anyone.
So what did the truck actually hit?
The truck hit a mixture of my right side and her door. So her door of the car got pretty mangled. It wasn't insane, but you could tell it had been hit by a semi, and I was right there, like at the door. So it hit me perfectly square in, I think, either the shoulder or the back.
And this was a full-size tractor trailer.
Yeah, this was a 18-wheeler hauling some big cargo. It was, you know, as weighted down as you could make it.
It's amazing that it's even possible you could survive that.
Yeah, I'm very lucky because normally I had done research after I had learned what had happened to myself. And when you hear about someone getting hit by a semi, normally there's an obituary afterwards. For me, it was just so insane that I actually lived. From what I remember from some pictures I have that the police had given me, I had just dropped. I didn't even get like flung. It just like floored me. And obviously the truck driver stopped because he had assumed that he hit someone. So from the second I was hit to when she called the police was 11 seconds, which is astonishing. You know, she was on it.
Here's my hot take for today. If you see something advertised as a free trial, it might cost you more than you expect. At least that's my experience. I give up my credit card to try something for free for a week, then I forget about it, and now I'm paying for it every month without even noticing it. But when I signed up for Rocket Money, that ridiculous waste came to a screeching halt. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions. It monitors your spending, and it helps you lower your bills so you can grow your savings. It lets you see all of your subscriptions listed right there in one place. When you see a subscription you're paying for but you don't want, do you really want to spend an hour on the phone trying to track down some customer service agent to cancel it? Rocket Money can help you get rid of it with just a few taps. They also give me this great dashboard so I can see what I've spent this month compared to last month. And they'll even try to negotiate lower bills for me by up to 20%. So I'm spending less and saving more. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all the app's features.
Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/whatwas. That's rocketmoney.com/whatwas. rocketmoney.com/whatwas.
I made a decision a long time ago. When I'm out riding my bike each morning and I cross paths with someone, I always smile at that person. And most people smile back. But I do it because even though it's a little thing, it makes a big difference for me and maybe for them. It's just a fact. Small actions can bring big benefits. In the same way, it's also true that taking care of your gut can support the health of the rest of your body. Seed's DSO1 Daily Symbiotic benefits not just your gut, but your skin and heart health too. Seed DSO1 is part of my morning routine. If you can call it a routine, it's just two little capsules. And I feel amazing. It helps maintain the health of my heart, and it promotes regularity, which I can attest to. Sorry, that may be a little TMI there. For me, it's great that it's vegan, but it's also sugar-free, soy-free, peanut-free, gluten-free, and has no preservatives. It doesn't even need refrigeration. DS01 has so many benefits, including the fact that it's backed by a lot of science, but I've barely scratched the surface here. What I can say, though, is that my body feels great, and I've got a promo code so you can see the benefits for yourself.
Trust your gut with Seed's DS01 Daily Symbiotic. Go to seed.com/what and use code 25what to get 25% off your first month. That's 25% off your first month of Seed's DS01 Daily Symbiotic at seed.com/what. Code 25what.
Oh my God. Don't move. Don't move. I'm on 69. This kid hit me. I am left behind. And he came up to the kid. He was dead. And the semi hit him. Hitting him. And he was raised by my door. He was raised by my door.
Take a deep breath.
Oh, my God.
Take a deep breath.
Oh, my God.
Take a deep breath.
Oh, my God.
Ma'am, where are you at?
Oh, my God. I, did you see what the mile marker is right there?
No.
Oh, my God. Yes, go.
Take a deep breath for me. I'm
the semi has stopped.
Are you northbound or southbound?
Oh, my God. I'm going northbound.
Okay. Are you?
Oh, my God. I'm on.
Are you on the 207?
I'm on 69. She's looking. Oh my God, he's still in the mist. Oh my God.
Ma'am.
Oh my God, we need an ambulance. We have to help him.
What?
Oh my God.
Can you tell me exactly what happened?
I work at Amazon. I was coming home. Eddie ran on the phone with the ambulance. People, they're coming. Oh my God, he's still. Oh my God.
Ma'am, tell me exactly what happened.
I was coming from Whitestown.
Okay.
And tomorrow I was coming on 69, and he, oh my God, stop moving, don't move any, please.
Okay. Did somebody get hit
and
by the vehicle?
He hit me.
Okay.
He fell asleep as he was driving.
Okay, so it's a car crash?
He ran into me, yes.
Okay.
And we pulled over to the side of the road, and he was coming up to give me his information, and he was standing here, and they hit my. Yes. He's in bad shape. He's in bad shape.
Okay.
Okay. Please.
I've got help coming. Just stay with me, okay? What's your name?
Okay.
Just take a deep breath for me, okay?
Oh my God. Please hurry. Please, God.
Got help coming, okay?
It's 207. Oh my God, please.
Deep breath.
Oh my God. Please don't move, honey. Please don't.
Where is that male at?
He is right at my driver's door.
Okay, is he still or is he in?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, are you able to turn your hazards on?
They're on. His car is behind mine. His hazards are on.
Okay.
Oh.
Okay, what kind of vehicle are you in?
I'm in a white truck. I'm in a white truck. He's in a white, he's in a white, like a SUV something.
GMC.
It's a GMC something. Oh my God. Oh my God.
Don't move.
Oh my God. Please, honey, don't move.
Is he awake?
Yeah, sort of. Yes.
Okay, did the semi stop?
Yes. Yes.
Are you guys on right shoulder or left shoulder?
Right shoulder.
Alright.
Yeah, you hit him. Oh my God, man.
Is he awake? Is that male awake?
I'm on the phone with him right now.
Is that male awake?
He is trying to move.
All right.
Tell
him not to move, okay? Okay.
Huh?
Right now?
There's people around.
Do not move him unless they're in danger, all right?
All right, they're not. No, he's not touching me. He's fine. Grace, is there a blanket? See if there's a blanket back here. Just wait this with you.
Listen to me. Where is he at? Where is he at? Is he in front of your vehicle?
He's right outside the driver's door.
Okay, okay.
And I don't know where. Just wait here.
You drive a white van, is that correct?
No, I drive a white truck.
Okay, so he's in front of the white
truck. Is there a blanket? Huh?
So he's in front of the white truck, is that correct?
The GMC is behind my white truck.
Okay.
He is the driver of the GMC.
Okay.
The person on the ground. I don't even know his name.
Okay, okay.
I don't even know his name.
You did the right thing. We have a ton of help coming your way. I need you to be here with me, okay?
Okay.
All right. This
okay.
Is an update.
Oh my God. Oh my God. I see it. I see this. Oh God. Holy Jesus. Holy Jesus. Oh my God. We were just driving and I had just looked up and said, oh my God, he's coming up on me awful fast, and he slammed right into the back of me.
Okay.
And we pulled over.
Okay. And
he walked up to the truck and the girl was in my head.
Okay.
Oh my God, help him.
Hey.
Help him, help him.
Okay.
Help him. It's in my hit him. His leg. Oh my God.
The officer's there, ma'am.
Yes.
All right,
yes.
I'll let you go, okay?
So it hits me, and I go on the ground, and I passed out for what I think was about 5 or 10 minutes. And then finally, as I'm coming to, I have no idea what happened. So I'm just laying on the ground, like, did I fall over? What's going on? And I go to pick myself up, and my arms just do not support any weight. So that's kind of when the first sign of, like, oh, something bad happened begins. Thankfully, I was in such intense shock that I didn't feel anything at the time, which was just the biggest blessing, because I'm sure that I would have passed out again if I could feel anything at that point. So, you know, I'm on the ground. I can't get up. I'm very confused. So I just start looking around because my glasses had flung off. I can't see anything. So I'm just looking for, like, lights or anything I can see. And lo and behold, that's when the police officer arrives on the scene. And he assumes that I'm dead because, you know, anyone would when you see me on the side of the road in a semi-truck in front of me. And he walks up to me, he goes, are you okay, son? And I just look up to him, and I go, oh, good evening, officer. How are you doing today? And he's like, oh, goodness. He was very surprised, as was I. He did the, you know, standard thing the police officer does. He checks me to make sure that I'm not, like, dying, literally. And he's like, are you okay? Can you feel anything? Do you know what's going on? And he basically just calms me down so that the paramedics can get there and start, you know, assessing me to see what's up, which was awesome of him, because I'm sure that if I knew anything was going down, I would have freaked out. So he's just making sure I'm all right for the first few minutes. And then the paramedics get there and they do their thing. You know, they cut off my clothes, which sucks. I had a really nice shirt on, and they're, you know, making sure that I'm okay. And at the time, I was just like, I have no idea what's wrong with me, so I'm just going to let them do what they need to do. And they assess my damages. They flip me over onto, like, a gurney, and then they put me into the ambulance ride, which was, it probably was about 5 or 10 minutes in real time. But for me, it felt like an hour of them just, you know, feeling me up and making sure that I'm, like, breathing. But by the time that everything had been said and done and I'm in the ambulance, that's when the pain starts to kick in. Because I'm calming down and I'm, like, starting to, you know, sort of catch my bearings. And I'm like, this really hurts. What's going on? And he goes, oh, it hurts? And I go, yeah. And he goes, don't worry. Give it, like, 5 seconds. And I go, what do you mean? And then I wake up 2 weeks later.
So what was hurting? What kind of pain did you have?
The pain came mostly from my back, my arms, and my leg. A lot of the injuries that I had sustained are very visible on my body. You can see where the bones inside of my arm had been broken you can see on my left side where my bone had come out of my arm and how it had basically torn up the entire side of it. My entire pelvis was fractured. Like, I mean, it was in two or three pieces at the time. And as well as a lower part of my back had been broken.
That's a lot of bones. Have you ever broken any bones prior to that?
No, it was my first time, you know. I really dived into the deep end.
I thought it was, it's interesting you say that the fender bender, it was the first time you'd ever been in an accident. Good thing it was a minor one. But boy, you had no idea what the major one was about to happen, huh? So your both of your arms were broken. Your back, you had some ribs broken as well?
Yes, I had broken, I think, I don't remember exactly, but it was a couple of my lower ribs.
And your pelvis and your legs. You had one of your big injuries was particularly your right leg. What happened there?
We don't know exactly how it happened, but somewhere during the accident, my leg was taken off. At first, below the knee, but through surgery, it ended up becoming an above-the-knee amputation. Just because of a lot of complications and how dirty the cut was, because, you know, it wasn't a prepared amputation. So it just ended up becoming an above-the-knee.
So your leg was actually severed at the time of the accident?
Mm-hmm. Thank goodness it wasn't clean, because the main artery that runs through my leg was the only reason I was alive, because it didn't break, it just stretched. Because if that had broken, I would have been dead by the time the police got there. So really, that was like a 1 in a million shot.
How do you think that may have happened with your leg being severed? Like the truck ran over it with one of the wheels, or do you have any idea?
We don't know exactly. There was a lot of like AI simulations that they ran to try and guess, but we don't really know. My guess and my father's guess, because my father drove trucks for well in over 8 years, was that the stairs on the side of the truck hit me directly in the leg and it just took it off.
Was the other driver of the other car, was she injured at all?
No, she was shell-shocked by it, like anyone would be. But she was fine otherwise. Really, it was just her car and me that got injured. Thank goodness, too.
So your car wasn't damaged?
My car, the back taillight that was facing the road shattered, but that's it. It had just barely tapped it, we assume.
So you were put in, you were brought to the hospital and put into a coma for 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember any of that time?
I remember near the end of the 2 weeks, because that was when I was really starting to begin to wake up. I just remember being awake for like 5 or 10 minutes at a time. And then every time I would blink, I would have a dream. So I would pass out for like an hour every time I just closed my eyes. And it was the worst too, because I dreamt I was at work. And it was never a good dream. It was just like, why am I back at the warehouse? What's going on? I guess it's my shift now.
What do you remember about, can you describe coming out of the coma?
It was slow in the beginning. So when I first started coming to, I think the person that realized it most was my father. Because he would get about 30 calls a day from me telling him what had happened to myself. I would basically wake up, forget everything that had happened to me. Someone would tell me, and the first thing I would do would be call my father and tell him. And then, you know, I'd fall asleep, I'd wake up and repeat ad nauseum. It wasn't really the accident that was doing that. It was more just, the medicine they were giving me. I still haven't seemed to have any form of brain damage from it, thank goodness. It was just a lot of the intense pain meds I was being given that would basically just like kind of give me a memory wipe every time I fell asleep.
Talk about when they told you about your leg.
I remember waking up and sort of for the first time in a while feeling kind of there, because every time I would wake up, I remember feeling a very intense sense of like just not understanding what's going on or where I am at all, because the lights were always off in my room, so I just had no idea what was going on. And this lady walks in and she's like, "Good morning, Steven." And I go, hello, like, what's going on? And she's like, you could tell she's been through the works with me, because she comes in and she has like the script ready. She's like, "You've been in an accident. It's currently, I forget exactly what day it was. It was about 2 weeks after May 4th. So she was like, probably something along the lines of like, it's May 28th. You know, you've been in an accident. You've broken a lot of bones and, you know, you've lost your right leg. So you're out here at the hospital." And she kind of just breezes past it. And because of that, I kind of just didn't catch it the first time. But when she's done talking, I go, "Did you say I lost my leg?" And she goes, "Yes, son, you lost your right leg." And I go, "No way." And I flip over the blanket and I look at it and I go, "Oh, I did." And first thing I do, because I'm finally awake and I get told what's going on, I call my dad. And he's like, "Hey, buddy, are you about to tell me you lost your leg?" And I go, "Oh, you already know?" And he goes, "You've told me quite a few times. I already know." And I go, "Well, yeah, that's what I was calling to tell you." And he goes, "Okay. How you feeling, you know?" And I was very sick in the beginning. I had a lot of infections in my leg that had been just because of the accident. So, you know, it was hard for me to eat and it was hard for me to like keep anything down just because I always felt so sick. Thank goodness I did wake up at some point though, because there was a chance, my family told me that there was a big chance that I wouldn't.
I guess when they put you into a medically induced coma, there's always that chance, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
But you have youth on your side.
Yes, I do. When I was in high school, I had gone on the fencing team. So I was rather fit at the time. And my body wasn't in perfect condition, but it had been used to training. So I was healthy. And I just started a job at Amazon, so I was constantly on my feet.
Can you talk about the thought process when you've realized that you've just lost a good part of your leg?
My first thought was, how is this going to affect the rest of my life? I thought about that for a long time, because you have, when you're very young, you have a naive thought about what the rest of your life is going to be like. You know, you don't know exactly, but you have an idea of what you want it to be. And I was like every other kid, I had this idea of like, you know, going to college, getting a job, having a family and all that. And this accident kind of tore that all up and made me have to reconsider the entirety of my life. And then after that, I tried to think about what it was going to be like personally, because a lot of my friends had been told of the about the accident while I was out. But I had woken up and it all hit me at once, you know. So it was very insane to see the idea that my life had been before the accident and like a smash cut to what it was now.
You've been out of the hospital how long now?
I'd say 1 or 2 months. I was in the hospital for, I think, exactly 5 or 6 months. Like, on the day of the 4th, I think, in like September, I had finally gone home. So it had definitely been an extensive amount of time in the hospital.
Have you fully processed now life without your right leg?
I still have moments where it's a surprise to me, but I've always been able to take things, you know, as they happen, and I've never really had anything get hung up with me often. So because of that, I was able to sort of understand quicker than I think a lot of people would.
I saw a picture of you in the hospital,
mm-hmm.
and you were smiling. You seem like a person with a very positive attitude. Is that something that you've always been that way, or have you deliberately trained yourself for that?
That has been my entire life. For some reason, I've always just been able to find the bright side of things. You know, when I was a baby, I had never cried. My dad described me as the perfect baby, because I would just sit there. I would eat. I would watch the TV for a bit. I would fall asleep and then wake up and do it again until I eventually learned how to talk, and it just went downhill from there. But, you know, I've just always been able to find the good side to things. And I think a lot of that also comes from my desire to be a comedian. Every class clown wishes that they can be on the stage And I tried it out a few times before the accident, so I think I've always been able to take a good joke. And this was the funniest joke I'd ever been in, ever. Because I just it's hilarious to me. I don't know how, but it is.
Yeah, can you explain that? Because I'm thinking some people, if this happened to them, this would be like the beginning of a long depression. Mm-hmm. And now you're saying this is like the funniest joke that's ever happened.
Yeah.
How does that work?
I've always been able to make fun of myself. That's how all great comedians find out that they're funny, is, you know, just self-deprecating jokes. And, you know, when I figured this all out, I was like, oh my gosh, this is going to be great material. I'm the sit-down comedian, not the stand-up one. So it was just ways for me to figure out, like, I can't be depressed about this. This is too funny. I also do imagine the future quite a lot, which right now I don't have a prosthetic leg, but, you know, when I do, it'll be awesome to have, like, a robot leg that I can walk up, you know, and down the street with.
That's one thing I wanted to ask you about, was what's the prospect of a prosthetic? Have you looked at different ones, or are there different models, or how do you do that?
We've talked with a few prosthesis people about prosthetic legs. There's still some stuff on my stump that has to heal first before I actually go into looking at them. But, you know, nowadays, technology is so advanced that, like, the top-of-the-line prosthetic leg is, like, amazing. There's these types of legs that have pre-built modes in them for, like, there's one for, like, walking and biking and driving, where, you know, you just kind of put weight on the back of your foot and it just changes modes for you. So I was very shocked to figure that out, because, like, you know, whenever you hear about a prosthetic leg in the movies, it's like, here's this stick with a bone joint in it. Have fun.
Yeah, but now you push a button and it goes into running mode, and then you hope you can keep up with it, right?
Yeah. It's going to be more advanced than I am at this point.
I read that you tried to avoid pain medication.
Yes.
Why is that? Talk about that.
My family has had some trouble with addiction. My mother died when I was 8, which it was sad at the time, but I miss her, but, you know, I think I've gotten over it as much as you can. So, you know, and she died of a drug overdose, which, you know, is a big wake-up call when you're like, wow, this runs in my family. I have to be mindful of this. So I was always like, don't give me all of it. Just if I need more, I'll talk to you about it. But if I can take it, I'll take it.
Were there ever times when you were in severe pain and you just decided to take the pain rather than take the pill?
There were times where I was in some intense pain that I was like, I can do this, but it's going to be a rough ride. When they had first started initially wrapping up my stump, they would knock me out for it. So they'd put me under, they changed my wrappings, and then I'd wake up in my hospital bed later. But one day the doctor was like, we're going to try this without you going to sleep, and I just want you to know it's going to hurt. And I'm like, that's going to be fine. And my dad had finally been able to visit because of COVID restrictions. He was gone and away from me for like a month or two at least. So he was standing there with me for the first time that I had ever had to go through this, like, while I was awake. And, you know, I was being all high and mighty. I was like, this isn't going to hurt. It's going to be fine. And they start taking off the bandages. And I remember it very vividly. I look over at my dad and I grab his collar and I just go, I would stab a man in the heart and watch the life leave his eyes to never feel this pain again. And he goes, would you like medicine? And I go, no, I'm good. It was just, I don't know. I think I'm crazy sometimes for it, but it definitely helped in the long run. I don't rely on it as much as I thought I would if I took it as much.
That's a good thing. If you can avoid it, that's definitely good. Do you have full movement of your arms and your hands and your other leg and everything?
My other leg is completely fine, as well as my right arm, but my left arm currently has a lot of problems when it comes to its extenders. So basically, if anything involves moving up on my right hand, it can't be done on my left. But everything downwards motion works, so like clenching fists and, like, you know, moving the wrist down. The elbow is completely fine on that arm, but really it is just I can't move my wrist up or my fingers up.
And what's the prognosis on that? Is that, can you have therapy to bring that back?
They tested it a while ago and it hadn't been healed yet. So they're going to give it a little bit more time. And if it does start showing signs of healing, then let's let it do its own thing. But they have been talking about surgery to get it to start working again if it still shows no signs of healing.
So you got some possibilities there either way.
Mm-hmm.
Any idea on your total medical bill?
We believe, I don't know exactly, I don't remember the last time I checked, we believe it is in the tune of $1.5 million. It's shocking. I am literally the $1 million man right now. I can't believe it. You know, thank goodness for insurance, because, ooh, it's wild.
Have you ever spoken to the truck driver?
No, because of legal stuff, I was advised not to, as well as the lady, you know. They just wanted to make sure that everything had been taken care of beforehand, and, you know, when this is all said and done, I'll be able to, but for now, I haven't been able to yet.
And I'm sure he's probably been instructed to not contact you as well. Any other insights that you've had from this happening to you?
A lot of people will tell me that, like, oh my gosh, you know, if I was in your position, I don't know how I would do it. And at first I was like, that's understandable. It's a very intense thing that happened to me, but definitely after living through it, I can say that you get a lot stronger mentally. I think a lot of people could go through what I'm going through right now if they went through it. Because, you know, for me, there's no chance for me to be able to give up if I wanted to. It's my life now. I got to live through it. So if there was a button that was like, would you like to give up? I'd still consider it. But I think after all this, I wouldn't press it just because I got too many good jokes. I can't give up this. Are you kidding me?
What would you think about a What Was That Like podcast t-shirt or face mask or a hoodie or a sweatshirt or a coffee mug or a phone case or even a pillow? Well, all of that is now available at whatwasthatlike.com/store. You can get all kinds of stuff with the podcast logo. And you know, when someone sees that, the first question will be, what was that like? What's that all about? All of the clothing comes in all sizes and colors, so there's definitely something for everyone there. My plan eventually is to have some designs made for specific episodes of the podcast, so you might see some kind of graphic of a plane crash or an alligator attack, or maybe just a foot if you're a fan of episode 28. Yeah, you know the one I'm talking about. Anyway, check it all out at whatwasthatlike.com/store. And here's something you probably didn't know. What Was That Like has a podcast voicemail line. You can call it anytime, day or night, and leave a message, and you might end up hearing it on a future episode. The number to call is 727-386-9468. And recently, a listener called in to talk about one of the recent episodes, and this was about episode number 65, which is called Brandon Was Dragged by a Horse. And here's what she had to say.
Hi, I just wanted to call in and tell you that I was so happy to hear, I think it was Brandon Was Dragged by a Horse, the episode before the newest one, the one before the last. Oh my God, I can't even talk. But anyway, I was happy to hear how well they treated the horses and how much kindness and effort was put into the horses' health and well-being at, like, you know, the Renaissance fairs and stuff like that. My family and I really try not to go to anything that utilizes animals for entertainment, mainly based on really terrible, punishing, punitive practices that they use in order to get the animals to do these unnatural kind of things, you know, to entertain us. And just everything really seemed to be about the happiness and the health and well-being of the horses. And then I remember you made a comment within that podcast where, or that story where you were saying that it was like it came before the well-being of the people, or you were like, oh, you would think that the people came first. But really, and I totally understand what you were saying, because that kind of popped into my head too as I was listening. But then I was like, but the horses don't really choose to go into that situation. You know, they're not, the people are really in charge of this whole, the whole circus of it. Not, I don't mean it in a mean way, but you get the idea. It's like the horses are not wanting to go and do these performing kind of things. So really they should be, you know, their health and well-being really should be number one. So, anyway, I just really wanted to stress and emphasize how happy I was to hear that. That was so awesome. So tell, if you can pass along the message to Brandon, thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. It makes me feel so much better. Cause my husband loves to go to the Renaissance Fair and we festivals and when they come to town, and we don't go very often, but every few years, but it's because I have such a hard time seeing like the horses. So, that made me feel so much better. So please tell him thank you if you can. All right. Keep up the good work. And I love, love, love the podcast. It is really remarkable. Thanks. Bye.
So once again, if you'd like to call in your comments, you can do that by calling 727-386-9468. If you can't write that down right now, you can also find it on the website on the contact page. And that number is never answered by a human being, but I do listen to all the messages that are left there, and I just might play it on a future episode. And if you'd prefer a group conversation with other listeners, as well as past guests that were on the podcast, just join our private Facebook group at whatwasthatlike.com/Facebook. Really great discussions on there, and we don't talk politics at all. Maybe that's why it's fun. So that's a wrap, and I'm going to go start working on the next one. Stay safe, and I'll see you in 2 weeks.